Welcome to the Resilient Training Lab podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Resilient Training Lab podcast. Our guest today is Patril Dunford. So, Patril, thanks for taking the time to come on today.
Thanks for having me.
Pat, I don't know why I felt the need to go with the full name, but yeah, so today we're going to talk about goals. So, Pat, you run a personal training studio space. Is that accurate?
Yep. I've been running the space for 3 years, just a little over 3 years. And I've been a personal trainer for 6 years. So, yeah.
How'd you get into
Infinite Fitness? We did drop the name. You got to follow them. Infinite Fitness.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm not on my game today. That's my mistake. So how did you get into coaching? I'm not sure that I don't think we ever talked about it.
That's actually not, I don't think I've had somebody ask me that question in a long time. I grew up a very overweight kid. I come from a very athletic family. Like, my dad played D1 college football. Brothers were both animal athletes, and I was a very musical kid, so I never got into sports. And then somewhere around the time I get into high school, I started working out and I loved it. And at the time, I wanted to become a personal trainer, but my parents like talked me out of it. They were like, oh, you can't make any money coaching. Like, it's not worth doing. So I ended up going to school for criminal justice. And after I got out, I was like, you know, I might as well just get certified in personal training and see what happens. And that's really how I got into it. I just always loved working out since the first time that I ever did it when I was 14.
It's funny, that's kind of what I feel like everybody has that point, right, where they tell their family and loved ones that they want to get into strength and conditioning, and they all look at them and like, why would you do that? You're not going to make any money. My mom was so mad when I told her what I wanted to go to school for. But who's laughing now, Mom?
Industry trend. So, Pat, when you got started, I'm sure like all three of us here can probably relate where, you know, you get started and you think a client's going to walk through your doors, tell you exactly what they want to work on. You're going to tell them what they need to do, and then it's going to happen. And that couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah, that is definitely the case. I think one thing I had to learn the hard way over my career is if you don't teach people how to set concrete goals and almost like pull them out of thin air for some people because they don't know what they want, they're way less likely to keep coming back and showing up because they're not tied into it. So, and I think it's super important to like have goals around more than just weight loss. You know, obviously your typical garden variety personal trainer, their main clientele is going to be weight loss, people that want to, you know, lose weight, maybe get a little stronger. And I'm sure, as you both know, just solely weight loss goals usually don't keep people around for the long haul.
Yeah, I think it's a common misconception among new coaches that people like training as much as they do. most people get into the strength and conditioning field because they really enjoy lifting weights and training. And most of the people we work with, that's probably not the case. Most of them are there because they've been told it's good for them. They know it's good for them. Their doctor told them that they should probably be exercising, something along those lines. But there's no real direction when they come into the gym to get started. And I think one of the first obstacles you encounter is like, why do I even need a goal? Like, I'm here because I want to be healthy. Like, isn't that a goal enough? So how do you go about just kind of even introducing the idea that, you know, having some objective progress oriented goals is probably something that everyone that steps through the door needs to think about?
So most of what I do with newer clients is more about setting process goals. So I would say that the average person that I work with either has a very small background in training or hasn't trained ever or in a very long time. So the main thing that I like to start with people is setting process goals, you know, habits, showing up to the gym 3 days a week, maybe something like trying to get an extra 15 minutes of sleep, you know, a couple times a week, just something small to start with, because I find with training, especially if someone hasn't done it before, or they haven't done it in a long time, they don't know what exercises they're going to like. They don't have specific goals. So I like to give them, you know, maybe like a month or two to kind of feel out what exercises they really like, you know, maybe toss in some deadlifts, toss in some hip thrusts, toss in some bench press, see what they kind of take to. And then once I find that they have an exercise that they really like, then I start trying to hype them up about it. It's like, oh, you just deadlifted 100 pounds. What if we could get you to 200? And start kind of tying them into that. And that's kind of how I start my process with getting people to set goals around their lifting, especially if they haven't lifted in a long time.
So what does the initial conversation look like when somebody comes to see you, they want to be healthy, and you're trying to put on their radar that they should?
What do you mean? Like when they come in for an assessment or when they come in for like their first workout?
Yeah. Like how do you get people to like set a, or do you not try and set goals before people have lived with you for a bit to like get them those exercise goals? Or is it really just like, hey, let's show up 3 times a week and see what happens?
Yeah. So I usually talk to people and get kind of an idea of what exercises they like if they've done them before and try to set some goals around that. But I would say the main part of my clientele, the goal for me is, hey, can I just get you into the gym 3 days a week? You know, you haven't been active in so long of a time period, or you haven't been active ever. So let's get your feet wet a little bit. And then once you kind of figure out what you like, then we start to build around that. And it kind of becomes that process of internalization. So let's say that somebody really starts out liking hip thrusts. We'll do a bunch of hip thrusts for a while. And once they set, you know, a PR or, you know, they get to their goal on that, I say, well, hey, what's the next one? You know, what's something that you really want to work on? And then I'll kind of build out their program for them to hit the next goal. I would find the most common exercises that I find people love. Most of my people really love to deadlift. Most of my people really want to do their first like pull up or push up. So there's, you know, kind of a common progression that I see for the people that I work with.
Yeah, I think that initial kind of starting point for people is important. I think a lot of times you have people come in and they have these, sometimes they have these extremely lofty goals, if they do have any goals at all. You really rarely see someone come in with just like some solid, realistic timeline oriented goals. It's usually like I said, I just want to be healthy. I want to move more. I know it's good for me. Or you have someone who has like this extreme goal. They're like, oh yeah, I want to, you know, run a marathon. Have you ever run before? No. Like stuff like that, where their goal is just so far, it's not unachievable, it's just so far ahead of time that it's probably discouraging to think about it in terms of that big chunk, big goal. So something that is very valuable that you've brought up a few times now already is setting like process oriented goals, right? You know, if someone wants to deadlift whatever their body weight, they're not going to be able to deadlift their body weight if they don't show up to the gym, right? So right, step one is showing up. So I know personally we try to have people have some big goals and have people make like number goals, but kind of break it down into what like actions need to happen for that goal to take place. So it sounds like you do something similar. Do you have any processes like that where you're just kind of trying to help people break down what their goal is into like what they need to train? Because, you know, another, I guess, more applicable example is you'll have someone come in and they're like, yeah, I want to get better. Like, I want to hike more. Like, I want to be able to get to the top of the mountain without feeling like I'm going to die. So like, how do you start to break down people's goals into smaller goals so they can be successful?
So I think, you know, just like I said before, the biggest thing is simply showing up. And once you get people to show up, you kind of can start to have conversations with them. Like, how much progress have you seen so far? Okay, if your goal is this, how long do you think it's going to take you to get there? And then kind of talk to them about what things need to change or what they need to do more of to get there. So let's say someone has a weight loss goal. We obviously know as coaches, if somebody shows up to the gym a certain amount of times per week, eats the right amount of food day by day, that goal is going to happen. So everything that I do with people is just constantly talking to them about, you know, how can we improve your consistency in this area? How can we get you to eat a little better from week to week? How can we get you to sleep a little bit more from week to week? How can we get you more tied in to your training? And how can we get you working hard? Like having those conversations of, well, if you want to see a little bit more progress, you know, do you think we maybe need to push a little harder while you're working?
Yes, that is the other side of the sword, right? Is if goals are going to allow us to internalize training and make it part of what we do and is going to allow us to create kind of wins in training and have those accomplishments along the way to make training more enjoyable, you know, the other side of that sword is the expectations that one creates around their goals, which can sometimes become detrimental. So do you have any kind of methods that you use to handle people's expectations? And you kind of started to get into it already, kind of go a little deeper into that hole about how, you know, we have to be able to be realistic with our goals and be realistic with ourselves and, you know, our life situations and managing expectations on that end.
I like to use kind of metaphors with my clients, and I like to try and tie in their goals in the gym to goals that people might have in everyday life. So let's say that somebody wants to buy their first house. Well, you have to save up enough money to put a down payment on that house, you know, and that's a big goal for people. So I think when people are outside of the fitness industry, they don't realize how hard it is to actually change your actions. And then also how much work it actually takes to achieve a big goal, because, you know, obviously we live in a society where 90-day challenges and, you know, quick 30-day fixes run rampant. So one thing that I like to do is have my clients kind of talk to other clients that I've been working with a while and kind of use them to break down that process. Like, hey, you've been here for a little while. I know at one point in time, you thought that you were going to accomplish this much over this time period. You know, what would you say to this person? Kind of just getting them tied in with other people. And then also just constantly managing those expectations, because when people walk outside of our doors, they get bombarded with this stuff on a daily basis, either whether it be from like fitness accounts or whether it be from magazines you see at the grocery store. So I feel like managing expectations over goals is a never ending process, even with people that have been with you for a while, because you guys know the longer that you train and the bigger goals you get, the longer it takes to get to those goals. So at first, you know, if you have a newbie in the gym, they're adding 5 pounds every week and they're like, man, I'm going to be deadlifting 400 pounds in like 3 weeks. And you say to them, well, you know, I hope you are, but let's just keep, you know, training and showing up. And it's almost like you have to transition them from face to face. So if you have a brand new client, you have to make sure that by the time they hit that first wall in their training, that you're kind of transitioning them into that expectation of, well, you're getting a little bit better at this. You're getting to the next level. So when you get to the next level, your progress is not going to be as fast, but it's going to be a lot more meaningful. So in the beginning, you could show up to the gym once a week and add weight to your lifts. And once you've been training, you know, a year or so, it's not going to be that way anymore. If you only train once a week, you might add weight to your lifts every couple months. But if you want to see that same rate of progress, you have to start giving a little bit more. So when it comes down to people's goals, I like to have those conversations of, well, hey, if this is important to you, do you think maybe we could make a little bit more time for it? Maybe you could start training 3 days instead of two, or 4 days instead of three. And then kind of break that process down into what steps they need to take to get there. And one of the conversations that I have with people a lot is, you know, and I think that this is something that you talked about in the Bridge the Gap mentorship. Whereas when you're setting SMART goals, you almost want to remove the time restriction on those goals, because most of the clients that we work with, they have lives. We were actually talking about this before we hopped on the podcast about how, you know, this time of year, people get busy with their jobs or they get busy with their kids going back to school. And so all of those things are going to affect how consistent you're going to be able to be getting to the gym. But I think one thing that people miss, especially if they're getting frustrated with not hitting their goals, is if you stop training, you're never going to hit your goals. So if you keep showing up, okay, maybe things aren't going the way you want them to go right now, but if you can just, you know, survive the low point that you're in, eventually you'll get to that goal and then there'll be the next one. And, you know, maybe your situation will change over that time frame. But regardless, as long as you keep showing up and your program is progressively overloaded, which obviously every good coach worth their salt is going to do, you will continue to get better.
I think you brought up the what is like the biggest point to me of, you know, you said like, oh, you guys understand, you know, once you have big goals, it's going to take a really long time to get there. But I don't know that everybody coming in to train with us understands that, right? You said, you know, people expect to put weight on the bar every single week. And so there's going to be that point, which is different for everybody because some people just will progress longer than others when they first start out due to a multitude of factors. But eventually they kind of get kicked in the teeth and their progress comes to a halt and they can no longer go up from last week and they're forced to lift less weight than they did the last time that they did that training session. And that's usually met with a lot of frustration. And like, we know as coaches, if we're there, we're talking them off the ledge because like, hey, congratulations, like you're actually strong enough for it to kind of matter what you do now. And like, this is now strength training. Like what you were doing before was just like the little kiddie version where it just always gets better. And now it's like kind of fighting back. So where I was going with this was in the beginning, and I know Paul and I have talked about this before, it's almost like you have a certain amount of time to capture that client and get them interested in strength training and invested in it and seeing the benefits of doing it so that when it gets hard, they don't just pack up and leave. Because again, we've all seen clients who progress when they show up, but they don't always consistently show up and eventually gets hard and they just like fall off or they double down and like actually become like great clients.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think that's why it's so important in the beginning to really set those process goals. Because if you look at the way that, you know, human beings form habits, if something becomes enough of a habit, people are just going to continue to keep doing it. And so it's kind of like having, you know, that like internal reward, like, oh, you know, I did this today. And I think one thing that's really helpful is when you have a client that has that bad session, you kind of talk them off the ledge and saying, well, hey, it was a tough workout, but one, you finished it. And two, you had a bad workout today. So odds are next week is going to feel even better when you have a really good one because you just survived a bad one. So when you leave, you'll feel twice as good as normal.
Yeah, I think that like we, again, Ryan and I talk about this a lot, but that point in a person's training life when they go from what we'll call a beginner where they are showing up every week, adding 5 pounds to the bar, you know, like they're still learning the skills. So like each week, everything just looks better, feels better. They feel stronger. And eventually, like we've been talking about, that stops and that's no longer the case. And there's going to be good days and bad days. And, you know, you're going to have to fight a little longer for each PR. And we keep talking about how important it is to set people up for success when that happens. And we've talked about kind of process-oriented goals for beginners. It's so I guess what I want to get into is like, what processes are we trying to get in place and what habits are we trying to get in place while that person is like seeing progress every week and while they're a little, they're getting those wins and getting that positive reinforcement every day. What habits are we trying to instill before they get to that point where, you know, the gains are a little harder and their ability to, or that tipping point happens?
I think we brought up a few times, we keep saying process-oriented goals and, you know, we're coaches, so this is normal lingo to us. But Pat, could you describe what the process-oriented goal would be, or like the process, I just use the same word because it's so ingrained. I think that's why we're all doing it. But so the opposite of a process-oriented goal would be an outcome-focused goal, right? And so could you just define those two for us so that everybody's on the same page?
So I guess in layman's terms, outcome-oriented goal is I lose 20 pounds or I add 40 pounds onto my deadlift. A process-related goal is I deadlift 2 to 3 times per week, or I work out 3 to 4 times per week. And that can be the same thing for weight loss. I eat within my calories 5 to 6 days per week. So it's more focusing on the actions that you have to take to get to that goal as opposed to just getting to the goal.
And the benefits there, it provides clear steps for our clients to take in order to help them get where they want to. Because like you had said earlier about removing the time part of setting like a SMART goal, we can show up and deadlift 2 to 3 times a week, and ideally our deadlift will go up if we're kind of managing everything else well, but we really have no say in how fast it goes up. Like I had said, some beginners progress longer than others. Like people in general progress faster than others. Some people are progressing faster in one lift than others. So it's like, I think it's a pillar for us to like hold on to or like focus on when, like you said earlier, things might not be going well, but we know, hey, this is important to me in the long run. So even though I might not have a measurable improvement in my deadlift over the previous X amount of time, I know that I'm doing the steps necessary to get me there eventually.
I think one thing that you guys talk about a lot and that I try to explore with my clients as well is, you know, after a certain period of time, lifting kind of just becomes part of who these people are. So a lot of times if you have a newer client, just like Paul was saying earlier, you know, maybe their doctor told them that lifting was good for them, or, you know, maybe they had a bad experience where they couldn't get up off the floor or something like that. But if you can tie people into why they're doing this and almost show them the host of benefits that strength training has other than simply making your body look a certain way or weighing a certain amount, people start to do it just because it's like part of what they do. So if you ask somebody what their career is and they say, oh, I am a salesperson, or I am a grocery store clerk or whatever it may be. I feel like it's kind of the same process where if you can really get somebody tied into their goals, it almost just becomes part of their identity. And so even if they're having that tough time where they're, you know, maybe their lifts aren't going up, it's like, well, you know, I'm somebody who lifts weights. This is what I do. So despite the fact that maybe I'm not moving towards my goals, this is just part of my daily routine. And so it's almost like getting people to ingrain that habit so deep into their lives that it's just part of what they do on a weekly basis, regardless of what's going on, even if they have to modify the amount of times that they're doing it per week. You know, maybe that you can't lift 4 or 5 days because life is crazy. Well, you know, being a lifter is part of who I am, so I'm going to do it, you know, at least a couple times a week because it's important to me. And it's about, you know, helping people kind of make that transition, which I would say is probably the most difficult part of our jobs. I mean, obviously we know that like getting people results is pretty easy as long as they follow the framework, but you know, getting people to a point where they lift weights just because they're intrinsically driven to do so, that's a whole nother ballgame that you're playing.
And I think I just want to echo like why process-oriented goals are so important, right? Is that we can make these things habits and slowly build on them, and we can know that if we are successfully completing our process-oriented goals in the long run, we are going to move forward, and that if we are not moving forward with the current amount of actions or processes we are taking, probably adding another one will help move the needle forward. And then the other thing is, as we layer these things, we create more and more small wins, we create more and more connections to lifting weights, and it helps internalize the process more and more. And then in order to get all the other benefits of lifting weights that we want people to value so that they don't become solely tied to lifting weights based on the weights they lifted, because that is not a healthy mindset to take towards lifting. I think we see that in powerlifting a lot, where when people stop hitting PRs, they just, you know, stop lifting forever. And I hate to break it to you, but at some point in your life, you are going to hit your last PR, and that shouldn't be the last time you lift weights. You want to be able to continue to lift weights for the rest of your life. So if we can't start to make clients or make ourselves realize all the other great things that lifting can do, then we can never truly internalize that process of kind of training and just living, I guess, a healthy lifestyle.
I think it's funny because you're totally on point where people hit, you know, or they stop hitting PRs and, you know, they just kind of fizzle out, their lifting stops. And if you look at the processes that we encourage for, let's say, somebody new to training, right? It's, you know, getting adequate sleep, taking your nutrition somewhat seriously, and consistently training. Those principles that we fall back on don't change as we get more advanced. We just get better at doing them. So it's like, I think the beginner athlete, and this is in general, because I see some pretty strong people still do this, but in general, the beginner is looking for some magic exercise that they don't know about, that they're going to learn about, that's going to like blow up their total. Or they want to focus on, I don't know, some crazy shit that they saw online that I try and just kind of like put blinders on when I see stuff like that. But they don't want to do the boring stuff. But stacking these basic habits and turning them into, like Patrio was saying, part of our identity, we just do them no matter what, it's going to feed into our long-term success and create more consistent positive outcomes than just being like completely all over the place with showing up 6 days one week and then one day the next, and like sometimes tracking food and taking nutrition and recovery seriously, and other times just like throwing it by the wayside and drinking on a boat 5 days in a week.
Yeah, I think to continue that thought is, people, I think, oftentimes hear like, oh, you really need to focus on these big rocks, right? We talk about big rocks all the time. When you did like a 5 podcast episode series on big rocks, like, and like what to focus in on training. And people hear it, you know, and especially more like intermediate and advanced lifters hear these things and think like, oh, that's just overly like reductionistic. Like, how can I only focus on these like 3 pillars and become, you know, the best ever? And I would argue that the best ever just do those 3 things the best ever. It's not that they're doing anything else special. It's like Ryan said, show up to the gym consistently, train your ass off, like work hard in that time. If you, you know, are doing 6 sets over a 3-hour period, probably not working that hard. A lot of people convince themselves they're working hard by spending a lot of time in the gym. And then they like convince themselves they're eating well by, like, I don't know, hitting their protein goals, but doing it with McDonald's and Wendy's. But I hit my protein goal, like, I'm good. Like, stuff like that, where it's you're convincing yourself you're doing these things well, but you're really not. You know, oh, I spend 8 hours in bed, but, you know, you're on your phone for 2 of those hours, so you're not really sleeping 8 hours. So it's a lot of, I guess what I'm trying to get at is I've never met anyone, I've met one person that does the basics next to perfect, and guess what? That's the strongest person I know.
Yeah, those things never stop being important. So,
and even, I mean, even Carlos, like, I would use Carlos as an example because he's the most elite athlete I coach. Even when we talk about what he can do next meet to hit a bigger total, the things we talk about are more like, hey, what can we do with your work schedule that you can get better sleep in? What can we do with your diet? You know, maybe we can, you know, he's got room in his weight class to grow. Maybe we can, you know, push up to the upper limit of that weight class for this meet that, you know, we weren't at last meet. So we talk more about those things than the things that I guess other people like to focus on, like whether or not he should buy a breath belt or what else is the new trend right now?
Those Theraguns and So Rights and
yeah, definitely doesn't own any of those.
Yeah, I mean, I can even say, being a coach in this industry, I've fallen victim to a lot of those things. Like, oh, this, I'm not doing this exercise. Like, maybe I should be doing it. Maybe that's why I'm not strong. And I think, having been coached by, you know, I had a coach about 2 years ago that I worked with, and now, you know, I work with Paul. You start to realize all of the things that you're not doing that are holding you back. And I don't think that people realize, when they first come into the gym, how much they can actually improve on just by making small progressive changes over time. The reason why I preach small habits to all of my clients and just slowly stacking those habits on top of each other is just from what I've seen them do in my own life. Like, if we were to flash back to 2-3 years ago, I was probably getting an average of like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I was probably consistent with my diet like 5-6 days out of the week. And I mean, I was training regularly, and I would consider it maybe semi-hard at the time, but this is also what I do for a living. So you take somebody that comes in off the street and they're like, oh yeah, I eat pretty well. And like, one day their dinner is like donuts, and then the next day they might have some chicken.
I get my protein from peanut butter.
Yeah. So, and you know, I think one thing that people don't realize too is, a lot of times when you're trying to educate your clients and show them things that they can do better, a lot of times they're not ready to hear like that next step. Like, they're not ready to address that bias of like, oh, well, peanut butter is a great source of protein. It's like, well, the science says otherwise, but you know, maybe they're not ready to make that change. So, you know, it's almost like, when you're working with people for long periods of time, you start to slowly chip away at those things that you see holding them back. And it's like, okay, well, you said that you wanted to be a little bit better about your eating. Well, step one, are you eating protein with every meal? No? Okay, why don't we start with that? Start with that as a goal. Okay, step two, are you hitting your vegetable and fruit goal every day? Okay, why don't we start with that? Then once they have a couple of like pretty well ingrained habits, then you can start getting into like those upper levels. All right, well, why don't we try tracking your calories? And then they start tracking their calories and they're like, oh my God, I'm eating like 4,500 calories a day. No wonder why I'm not losing weight. It's like, well, yeah, it sounds about right.
So you kind of started getting into this, is there seems to be some common derailers from that keep people from being successful. And one of those big ones, I think the biggest one, is not being ready to make the changes necessary to reach those goals. So how do you kind of approach that conversation? How do you kind of work around that, or work with clients who maybe they're not ready to do like a certain thing? You know, obviously there's other things they could do.
It's got to be tough love, right? After talking to you, you probably yell and throw things and get in their face.
Yep. Yeah, I get very upset. And I mean, I will say that, I think that coaching is a very humbling experience. When I was a newer coach, oh yeah, for sure, I'd be like, no, this is what we're focusing on. But as you work with people, you start to realize that that doesn't work. So about 6 months ago, I started working on my Precision Nutrition Level 1 certification. I literally am on the last chapter right now. But one thing that Precision Nutrition talks about is talking to people about what they are ready, willing, and able to do. So one thing that I would say that I screwed up a lot as a newer coach is assuming that when somebody came in to work with me, that they were like so ready to change their lives. A lot of times what brings people into the gym at first is something negative. Like, maybe they couldn't fit in their clothes from last year, or, you know, maybe they couldn't get up off the floor or anything. It's a number of things, but usually it's a negative experience that brings them in. And so obviously we know as coaches that negative experience is not enough to keep somebody going. So what I really like to do with people is just keep them focused on slowly stretching what they're already doing. So some of my clients, the goal that I have with them is simply just to take 5 minutes before they go to bed and just wind down, because they're so like wrapped up from their day and they're getting like 2 hours of sleep. And because they're getting 2 hours of sleep, they end up, you know, loading up on processed foods throughout the day. And then they also never want to work out. So it's almost like going down the pipeline. It's like, all right, what is the next most useful habit I can help this person build, and do it in a slow, progressive manner so that it's not going to take them a ton of effort to do. But if we keep slowly stretching it, it's going to get them very, very far in the long run. So I have another client that I'm working with right now, and she's one of my online clients. And we set the goal of getting her to work out once a week. And that was too big of a goal to start with. So now what we do instead is 10 minutes every day. She's doing some type of activity. And eventually we'll probably stretch that to like 15 minutes. But it's almost like, what is the most simple thing that you can find for this person to focus on that they're ready, willing, and able to do? So it's like you have that conversation because you might ask a client, all right, what do you want to focus on next? And they're like, oh, I want to track my calories every day. And it's like, well, are you willing to open up an app, download the app, figure out what portion sizes actually look like, then type them into the calorie calculator? And you know, when you break it down for them, they're like, well, that sounds like a big step. It's like, okay, well, why don't we maybe take a smaller step and start eating protein with every meal, or start eating 2 servings of vegetables every day? And you'll be surprised, like you'll set that goal for somebody and it's like the smallest goal and they like have trouble with it. And so then that's when you can start to break down to them like, hey, look, I know that your goals are really important to you, but do you think you have to give a little bit more effort to reach them? And then usually after people see that, like, wow, like I'm having trouble just getting like the basic bones of nutrition every day. Like, I guess he's right. I guess I do have to put a little bit more into this. And then you start to just build on that.
Do you find that people come in with a pretty solid understanding of like what factors play into their goals, or are they out in left field and sort of have an enlightened moment once you start explaining them what training for what they want to be training for looks like?
I would say a lot of it is like out in left field. Cause I mean, a lot of people have misunderstood ideas of like what fitness is. So people are like, oh, well, like I lift weights to tone and then like I eat to lose weight. And it's like, well, no, that's not really how it works. And so you slowly have to kind of like break down those biases and kind of meet people where they're at. So I'll give you another example. I had a guy when he first started working with me, he was like addicted to the keto diet. And he was probably like 45-ish pounds overweight when we started working together. And, you know, so I asked him, I said, oh, so like, why do you think that the keto diet works? And he was like, oh, well, I think it's this, this, and this. And so he actually wasn't even following a keto diet at the time. Like he thought he was, but he was actually eating like a lot of carbohydrates and a lot of fats every day. And it was like stacking up. So I had him track his calories for a couple of days. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of eating a lot of carbs. And I was like, well, at the same point, you know, look at how many calories you're eating per day and look at how many of these calories are coming from like the extra peanut butter you're eating or like the extra cheese you're eating because you think that it's good for you. I was like, why don't we try maybe toning some of that down and see what happens? And so he did that and he lost like 5 inches off his waist in like a month and a half. Like it was really quick. And so it's like, it's almost like tactfully talking to people to get them to understand what you're saying. Because obviously you guys know as coaches, if somebody has a wrong idea about fitness, you can't just come out and be like, no, you're wrong.
Well, actually,
they'll never come back and they won't respect you, even if you're right. So it's almost like slowly teaching them what the best pathway to their goals is by asking them questions about what they're ready to work on and what they believe. And then you just slowly find ways to just continue stretching that little by little.
Yeah, I like that sort of titrate behaviors in as it is required, because if you're a beginner, you can show up once a week and get stronger, show up twice a week and get stronger. And it probably doesn't matter if you focus on your sleep or not for like that initial period until you hit a plateau, and then like titrate in one more behavior and all of a sudden progress starts up again. And it gives you that time to layer the behaviors that we've been talking about. Because I think something that we talked about, I know we talked about with you in the mentorship, is just having like an optimal level of challenge that you're proposing to somebody. And so if like you're a coach and presenting a plan that is so far beyond what that person feels ready and capable to do, they're not going to get started and they're not going to be consistent. And so like, sounds like the questions that you're asking and this whole process is focused on trying to just figure out what they feel ready to do so that you can provide them a plan that like ever so slightly, pushes them outside of their comfort zone and forces them to work a little bit, and then just keep doing that. It's like, as they get better, teach them how to handle more. Like, they get better, push them to do more again.
Exactly. It's just slowly raising that ceiling little by little. And I feel like as long as you're having the right conversations with people, like you say to them, okay, so you hit a wall a couple months ago with your lifting because this wasn't in place. And now we put this structure in place and you're making progress again. Do you think that that might happen again in the future? And okay, yeah, probably. Well, obviously, you still kept showing up to the gym. You still kept up with your good behaviors. And then we added a new good behavior and progress started again. So when you run into a roadblock in the future, what do you think you need to do? Oh, keep showing up and probably just, you know, change a couple small things. Okay, perfect. So let's just make sure that we keep doing that even when you have those bad months or those bad weeks or bad sessions.
I think one of the big, I guess, you know, we started out kind of with this talking about derailers, things that derail people from hitting their goals. We talked about, you know, unrealistic expectations and managing those expectations. And related to that is something that I think you just talked about, but didn't actually say, is the idea of perfectionism holding people back. And this idea that people need to do everything perfect in order to get anywhere. And I think a lot of people get into fitness and get overwhelmed by the amount of information and amount of things that people are telling them they need to do. So they do nothing. So that method of starting with, like, what is the most simple thing we can do to move the needle and slowly adding to that is a much, much better approach than just trying to jump in head first and do everything all at once.
100%. And I personally think that that's one of the most important duties as a coach, is just to continually remind people, like, hey, you're showing up. Like, this is so much more than you would have been doing, you know, 6 months ago or a year ago. You know, even though these actions might not seem that big, or even though you might not feel like you're doing everything you want to yet, you're making such better decisions than you were, you know, 3-6 months ago. And just like continuing to just encourage people and help them grow what they're already doing. And then, you know, they start to understand, well, you know, yeah, maybe he's right. You know, okay, I can't work out 6 days a week, but if I can get to the gym 2 days a week, well, it's better than if I don't show up at all.
Right. Something that, you know, we have talked about, and I'm trying to think of how I want to say this or what the best way to phrase it is, but, you know, we're talking about goals, and sometimes people really, like, do a good job. You know, they set realistic goals. They're consistent with their training. And then, like, we all know things get really slow. Like, you're not guaranteed to put 5 pounds on, like, a lift in a month or even, like, 6 months. You might go a very long time without PRing.
Or 6 years.
Yeah. And then you get people who, well, you're also, like, a lot leaner and lighter. So where I was going was, like, you're not guaranteed to PR. You're not guaranteed to always make progress. And I think a lot of times people hit this point in their training career and they just, like, throw their hands up, say, fuck it. And they, like, change their goal all the time. And they just bounce between, like, 8 different things, because the one thing that they actually care about, they have to do a ton of work to get better. And, like, there is no guarantee that you get better. And it's like, they abandon it. And it's like, no, like, this is the thing that helped you be consistent. This is the thing you care about. And, like, you still care about it deep down. You're just distracting yourself with, like, these other things that aren't as important, or, like, aren't as important to you, or, like, it's just a distraction technique. And I think we see this a lot with people who are, like, intermediate or, like, somewhat advanced, where they all of a sudden, like, swap goals for the wrong reasons, I think is the way I'm trying to put it. And it's like, this is going to be something that is very frustrating and painfully slow at some point. And, like, that probably means you're doing it right and, like, you're advanced. Like, if you just always progress, you're not advanced. I don't know where I was going with this, but it was related to goals. Yeah. And it's been on my mind a lot.
Well, lately. No, it's an extremely good point, is life is going to happen. There's going to be times in your life where you can expend more energy and time and effort towards lifting weights. And there's going to be times where you can't spend as much energy and effort towards lifting weights. And you tie that into the fact that the stronger and more advanced you get in a certain specific like category, right? Just talk powerlifting because that's mostly who's lifting. Is if you're listening, is if you want to get better at squat, bench, and deadlift, and you've been squat, benching, and deadlifting for 10 years now, like you are probably advanced, and it's going to be a lot harder to get better at squat, bench, and deadlifting. And if that is what got you this far into lifting and what you really care about, does it make sense to, I don't know, start bodybuilding or become an Olympic lifter just because it's easier to make gains there? I think what Ryan was arguing is that it would not, and I would agree with him. It would probably be more beneficial to continue to put your head down and work towards the goals that became meaningful to you, but it has then become harder. But that is part of the lifting process, is that it's hard, and that teaches you valuable lessons, you know, mentally and physically. So like shying away from that is just doing you a disservice, and people start to look elsewhere, or like, what can I do more of? And I think one of the big things that I've taken away from this podcast and listening to Patriot talk is like, it might not be what can we do more, it's what can we do better, right? Like, if we want to focus in on these three, I guess, pillars of nutrition, sleep, stress management, sleep/stretch management, and training hard, it's like, how can we do those things better? It's like, we might not necessarily need to add more and make things more complex. We just need to do the things we're doing better. So again, no question, just continued rant.
Well, I think it's something that any relatively like long-term trainee has experienced. And it's like you said, it builds character when like you show up for the reasons that you want to show up and like you focus on the process. Like we're so focused on talking about, and it's like, yeah, there's no guarantee that the outcome is like going to be there. You know, you were talking about Carlos earlier, and it's like Carlos trains 51 6/7 of a year to hopefully hit a PR total, and it's like he doesn't know until that one day, but like he shows up the other 364. So it takes a lot of grit to do that.
I think that kind of circles back to what you guys talk about a lot in terms of having that intrinsic belief. And I think that is one of the toughest things for newer clients, is like lacking that belief. So I work with a real estate agent, and she owns her own business, and she has a very successful business. And when she first came in, you know, she had obviously worked with like other coaches in the past, and like, you know, maybe not hit her goals, or, you know, started something and stopped. And so I asked her one day, I said, why do you work so hard at your business? And she was like, well, because I'm going to be successful. And I was like, but you don't know that. I was like, you could lose your business next year. I was like, I hope you don't. But it's, nothing is guaranteed whatsoever. But you show up and you work hard because you have that belief that if you do those things, you will be successful. And I asked her, I said, do you have that about this? You know, do you believe that if you keep showing up and you keep doing the right things, that you will be successful? And I said, if you do have that belief, then odds are you will be, because you're going to keep showing up. But if every time you hit a bump in a road, you don't have that belief that you're going to be successful long-term, of course, there's always going to be a more attractive option, because when you're in the thick of trying to get better at something, there are always easier paths you can take to get something less valuable. But yeah, so it's kind of just like having that intrinsic belief. And I read recently, I just finished up reading Atomic Habits by James Clear, which is a great book if anybody listening has not read it. And he talks about this concept of reaching critical mass. So when you first start training, everything that you do is almost like enough critical mass to move the needle or make progress. As you train longer, you require more and more of those levels of critical mass. So it's like, all right, I've been training for 2-3 years now. Well, now I need to start focusing on my sleep, or now I need to start, you know, eating a little bit better. Now I need to start training harder. Now I need to start training more often. And in those periods where you're working on building up that critical mass, you're you're probably not going to see progress right off the bat, because you have to develop enough of that critical mass to actually break through the ceiling that you're sitting at the moment. But the only way to do that is to keep practicing the same habits and practice them better and, you know, slowly get better at each one. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you add like 10 pounds onto your deadlift and it hasn't moved in like 3 months. Well, if you stop deadlifting, it's definitely not going to move.
Not in the direction you want it to.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, beliefs and expectations shape our realities. I mean, I say it all the time. Is if you don't truly like believe and expect to make progress and to be successful, you are not going to be. I think people grasp the concept of pretty much everything we've been talking about today in a lot of different things outside of lifting weights, and then they come into the gym and it's like all of that gets lost. I think my favorite example is, you know, finances. Like, everyone understands, like, can't spend more money than you make. Well, not everybody, but most people understand can't spend more money than you make. Like, if you want to retire, you got to, you know, slowly start saving from a young age, and you're not just going to become a millionaire overnight. You are going to, you know, invest and save and put away a little bit each week, and over time that compounds into something very large and substantial. And it's the same idea here. Like, we need to start small and start stacking those and making deposits into the training bank. And over time, we can see amazing things happen. But if we don't start early, be consistent about it, and constantly, you know, deposit into that bank despite what is going on, we're not going to have that end result regardless.
Yeah, finances analogy is A1.
And then I think the last thing I want to touch on is, Ryan kind of hinted at it. I told him I'd circle around back to it. So is, you know, I said, or 6 years, referring to myself, as it took me about 6 years to hit a deadlift PR. But in that 6 years, I lost close to 60 pounds, started a business, bought a house, moved in with my now fiance, and had some big life events during that 6 years. And during that time, I'm not going to lie, I was very frustrated and, you know, contemplated stopping lifting multiple times. But looking back on it, I was able to maintain my strength while accomplishing a lot of other things in my life. And that in itself is a PR. And I think very often, actually, I think it's a human bias to not, I don't think it is a human bias to not accept our wins and be self, like, you know, our own worst critic. So I think a lot of times it's very important to take a step back and look at the big picture. And I think a lot of times you will surprise yourself if you let yourself accept the wins you've made, right? Just because you haven't put 50 pounds on your deadlift this year doesn't mean you are a failure, right? If you are like maintained your deadlift and you, like, I don't know, COVID just happened. We were out of the gym for like 6 months. Like, people are upset left and right that they're not hitting PRs. And I'm like, you literally did bodyweight workouts for 6 months. Like, you should be happy that you're back where you were, right? Like, that you've maintained your strength, that you did the work you needed to not get worse during this crazy ass time. Like, that in itself is a PR. So a lot of times we have to look at our life circumstances, what's going on, who we are now versus who we were then, and be accepting of progress that might not seem as straightforward or intuitive as adding 10 pounds to your deadlift.
Yeah, mic drop.
Yeah.
Like Carlos said in our podcast episode a few months ago, it's like, you're PRing, you're just probably not PRing where you think you are. Like, you're probably handling more stress in some area, or like getting better at something else. Well, either slowly improving or maintaining your training. So that all counts. That's all important.
Yeah. Go check out Carlos' podcast part two to hear two whole podcasts about that exact topic.
Pat, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me. It was a good time. Lots of knowledge.
Very relevant conversation for many people. So I think if I'm on the right date for when your episode goes live, we should be having our spooky deadlift weekend, the 30th and 31st. So swing by Revolution in costume, do some deadlifts, record yourself, tag us, make a donation to Living Better. We're asking for minimum $5 donation. You'll be entered in a prize pool for gift cards and swag and
$100 cash stuff. Prize to the best costume. That's the big draw.
There you go. There you go. I'm expecting to see a lot of pink jumpsuits and squares, triangles, and circles on people's face masks.
Yeah. That's an easy costume.
It's gonna be one of the.
All right.
Yeah. What am I? I think that's it.
We got meet November 20th. I hope to see you all there. Meet's full, so if you want to sign up, you can't, but you can come watch. And if you want to come, you know, help out and get your hands wet and see what it's all about, we always need volunteers. So throw that out now too.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.